You're listening to Sportsnet Today with Logan Gordon on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
All right, rolling on into hour two of Sportsnet Today. It's Logan Gordon along with you in the Doug Lacey's Basement Systems downtown studios. For Doug Lacey's Basement Systems, cracked foundation, going foundation walls, they have a simple permanent solution to stabilize your foundation. Contact Basement Systems. They're all things basement-y. Visit dlbasementsystems.com. Hour one in the books, checking in on the Calgary Flames after a big win Saturday in the Battle of Alberta. Heard from head coach Ryan Huska on some lineup changes for his team. We'll still hear from Jonathan Huberto and Blake Coleman a little later on this hour as they get set to take on the LA Kings Tuesday at the Scotiabank Saddledome. Also checking in on the Blue Jays' big 8-4 spring training victory over the Pittsburgh Pirates. Counting down the days to the MLB's regular season. If you missed any of it, check us out on the podcast, Google, Amazon, Spotify, or your favorite podcatcher. But really excited to kick off hour two of the conversation. One of our favorites from Sportsnet.ca, Emily Sadler, joins us down the Atlas Beach and Sports Bar guest hotline. Emily, how are you?
I'm good. It's great to be back. How are you doing, Logan?
I'm doing really good, thank you. It's great to have you back. Of course, Emily joined us for NFL coverage during the NFL season, but continuing to be busy at Sportsnet.ca. You've been on the PWHL really since this thing got underway this season, Emily. How's it been covering this new league?
Yeah, it's been really great. I mean, I can't help but think back to, you know, when we first saw the PWHPA form, right? Which feels like just another lifetime, considering what's gone on in between, right? But just to see that, like, kind of to be able to witness that movement from the start in 2019 and then see how hard these women have worked to get this league going, and then, you know, sort of how quickly it came together, and to see them on the ice playing in the regular season. We're now at the halfway point. It's been just really great to see. And it's hard not to sort of be kind of reflective about it when you sit down to watch a game and just to see it all happening.
What's something that's maybe surprised you in watching this league at the halfway point now? Is there something that has, you know, sort of stood out for you that maybe you weren't expecting when you started writing on the PWHL on a regular basis?
Yeah, it's a good question. I would say, I mean, I'm not surprised by the success at all. Seeing how hard these women have worked and just how incredible these athletes are, I'm not surprised to see that the product is incredible. But I will say, it's just wonderful to see all the infrastructure around it. I know I'm not the only one who maybe had a few questions about, you know, just the speed at which this league kind of ultimately came together. It was this marathon, and then all of a sudden it was a sprint to kind of get it off the ground. And so just to see, like, all the infrastructure, the broadcast, just how well done everything is. And I think especially, you know, seeing a couple weeks ago this game between Toronto and Montreal at Scotiabank Arena, and just to see the response and just to really see it. And again, it doesn't surprise me. Like, we knew there was an appetite for this, but just to really, like, actually witness it was just incredibly special.
Yeah, it feels like to me the biggest surprise has been the sort of continuation of momentum from the start. Like, we knew there was going to be a lot of hype around the first couple weeks and the first couple games, but as we've continued to go, and you know this as well as anybody, Emily, you mentioned that big crowd in Toronto. There's just, you know, there's been big crowds in other areas. There's been big moments. There's been, you know, just sort of a continuation of what we saw at the beginning. And I think that was my biggest question mark about this league starting off was, okay, when, if ever, does it fall off? Or does that momentum take a big dive? And at least so far, I don't know that we've really seen that.
Yeah, and I think the word that comes to mind somehow is normal. Like, it just feels normal now, right? It's and no one said it better than Erin Ambrose after that game at Scotiabank. She was asked, you know, just what did it feel like to, you know, be out there on the ice, and what does it kind of prove to you? And she just said, listen, like, it's the middle of February. It's a regular season game, and we packed the house. You know, like, we're putting out this product, and people want to watch. And so I think just the fact that so quickly it feels normal that, like, oh yeah, who, like, on any given night, you're like, oh yeah, who, what PWHL teams are playing tonight? Like, it's just so quickly become part of the hockey world, part of the sports world, something that even just in the workplace, when I'm talking with colleagues, you know, it's something that we're always checking in on it. And so that's been really cool, actually, just to see, I think, how quickly, you know, everyone else around the players have kind of like just gotten on board and be like, yeah, this is just normal. Like, of course there's women talking on. This is great.
How much has it been nice to see things like a Montreal-Toronto rivalry grow? Because I think for a good portion of sports fans and people who watch women's hockey, you know, you're probably used to the Canada-USA rivalry. Mm-hmm. You're probably used to, you know, world championships, that sort of thing come up. But we've never really had the opportunity to watch a rivalry that's going to exist throughout a regular season. And then, hey, we'll talk about this next year because this is going to be a thing next year. It's not like, okay, we'll just wait 4 years till the next Olympics and these two teams meet again. Like, we're starting to develop actual rivalries and storylines within this league. How cool has it been to watch that sort of develop among these women too?
Yeah, that's been honestly like the best thing to happen for this league, I think, is to see how quickly these rivalries have come together. Obviously, like, the foundation is there when you're talking about hockey in Toronto and Montreal, but to see how quickly the players have embraced that rivalry, and it shows on the ice. Like, when they meet, they've played twice now. Toronto's won both. I think the score in the Scotiabank one was, you know, kind of deceiving. Like, it was a really close game. Overall, just a really tight game. But when they meet, these are physical games. They're fast. I think the first one, that was really, there's a lot of offense there. And so you're kind of like, as a fan and as someone who writes about it too, you're kind of also watching and seeing, okay, what is this rivalry going to be? And is it going to kind of be the rivalry that we want? And so far, I mean, so far, so good. So far, it has been. And I think we're going to just keep seeing that build, right? And as much as it's almost like jarring to see Marie-Philippe Poulin against Natalie Spooner and call that a rivalry because we're so used to them being on the same team. But, you know, I think the standing ovation that Poulin got at Scotiabank, I think maybe that will be the only one she gets in the Toronto crowd because I think, and that's the best thing, right? Because, like, of course you're going to cheer for Captain Canada, but at the same time, once those PWHL fan roots really dig in, then we'll really get the true rivalry. Once the crowd is totally, you know, in it, not for the full victory, but really like cheering for their own squad. I think that'll be so fun. So it'll be really fun to really see these rivalries take root.
Yeah, it's nice that this is just year one and the fans are starting to find things to grab onto and to know that it's coming back next year. And I talked to Sarah Nurse last week about Nurse United and everything that she's doing, and she just talked about that, you know, that feeling of relief that has to exist for so many of the women in this, knowing that, you know, look, you still want to perform and you're still always trying to be at your best, but to know that next year is a thing and to know that,
yeah,
you know, there's a future to this that's, you know, doesn't only seem like a hope, but it's a probability now, that the kind of pressure that takes off of them just to be able to go out and play seems like a massive win for the fans and for the players.
Absolutely. Yeah. Even just being able to say, like, oh yeah, what can we expect next season? And to know that, like, yes, there's a next season.
Yeah.
Yes, this is here to stay. And these women are not, you know, they're no longer in this position where they have to prove that they belong on the rink, right? Like, I can't really say enough about just that idea of just looking at these teams even and thinking, okay, each of these six teams are building for the future because there is one.
Yes. I think that's a great way to put it. And one of the funnest things, we talked a little bit about rivalries. Toronto-Montreal is becoming a very big one. Montreal is at the top of the standings through 13 games played this season. What kind of, I think, the team-building process and who was going to, you know, come out as the top team this year has been an interesting thing to follow, as well as it would be in any, you know, year one of a league. Emily, how have you sort of seen these teams evening out? How do you see the talent maybe spread across the league so far in year one?
Yeah, it's been, I think it's going to be a really fascinating second half of the season, because I feel like for a lot of the teams, you're sort of kind of ironing things out. And that's obviously, as you said, it's to be expected in the first half of a season. You know, I think to put it in sort of NHL terms, right? Like, you're looking at when we've got an expansion team, and you're kind of like, okay, who is this team? And now we're doing that times six. So we're seeing it all kind of happen at the same time. Definitely, I think to kind of pick one team, I think to sort of target would be Toronto. They've been, and I'm going to sound East Coast bias over here, I'm based in Toronto, but, you know, to see, they to me are that classic example of, you know, I think they had a lot of expectations considering, you know, their head coach, Troy Ryan, their GM, Gina Kingsbury, like they have every team has a pretty significant Hockey Canada, Team Canada presence, but especially them. And so to see them come out of the gates actually quite slow was interesting. And I think we've all kind of watched as they have found their offense, and now they're on this 5-game win streak, right? They're climbing up the standings. They're going to take on Minnesota. I believe that game's tomorrow night.
Yep.
And if they win, they can leapfrog Minnesota in the standings. So they're a team that's really on the rise. And then, so I think we're really seeing not only the teams come together, that cohesion and that chemistry, but also we're seeing the effects of the schedule and the travel and some injuries and stuff like that. So it's really just looking more and more, I think, yeah, to use the word parity, I think we've definitely got plenty of it. There is obviously, you know, there is kind of a clear cutoff right now between the haves and the have-nots in terms of contention. But yeah, it'll be fascinating to see how a team like, say, Ottawa in sixth place, how they can kind of rally. They've definitely also been one of those slower start teams. So yeah, it'll be a fascinating, I think, second half of this season in terms of just how these teams kind of continue to come together.
On an individual level, maybe, Emily, is there anybody that's caught your eye that maybe you didn't know a lot about heading into the season, and now all of a sudden you're like, wow, the PWHL has now given, you know, this young lady a platform that maybe she didn't have before?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good question too. I mean, I think there's so many, and that's another thing that in the second half of the season, I kind of anticipate learning more about those players, because I think in the first half, so much of the focus, and I know even just, you know, based on how I was watching as well, so much of the focus has been on sort of those national team players and the stars and the big names. And we're really going to get to know some of the players who maybe haven't been on those teams and who really kind of capture their markets. And, you know, each game has these great stories built in. I know over the weekend we saw on Ottawa, Akane Shiga, she scored her first goal. She's from Japan. She's the youngest player in the league. And she's someone who you could tell just by the way that her teammates celebrated her goal, like how loved she is on that team in that market. And so I think players like that, we're going to get to know really well. One that I will say, you know, she is on Team Canada, but Kristen Campbell, the goaltender for Toronto, she's someone who, as much as she's been on the national team, she hasn't had a lot of starts there. As we all know, Anne-Renée Desbiens has had, you know, she has really emerged as Team Canada's goaltender, right? And so that was a question for me that I was just curious about, was to see how Campbell can kind of take that starting role. You know, she was undeniably, you know, set to be the starter on that team, and how she could kind of embrace that, right? And we've seen her kind of along with the rest of the team, that slow start, but now she's on fire. You know, she's at the helm of this win streak. She herself has six straight wins. So she's someone who also has kind of stepped into that spotlight, and especially to see that like in a market like Toronto, one of the bigger markets, that's been really cool to see. And we're just going to see more of those stories, right? If you look at the top of the scoring standings, there are a lot of those familiar names, but I think we'll start to see some of the maybe less familiar names kind of climb up.
Emily Sadler from Sportsnet.ca is along with us at the halfway mark of the PWHL season, talking all things around the league at the halfway mark. And Emily, I'm curious your perspective on things that got talked about a lot at the beginning of the season, like expansion and, you know, this league growing. It's fun to talk about. It's fun even in a city like Calgary where we've had pro women's hockey before to say, yeah, we'd love a PWHL team. But those were really premature for me in the fact that I think you needed to see how the talent played out. I think you needed to see and how it was distributed too. But I also think, you know, you needed to look at it from a, you know, travel perspective and see how the league's initial six teams were spread out and if that was something that needed to be expanded. I know it's fun to think of how many teams you could get to, but how many teams you need and how many teams you can sustain were all these questions that I had floating around my head. I'm curious if at the halfway mark you feel any differently about expansion for this league, if you feel it's a slam dunk for them to look at right away. Is it something you feel needs to grow? How do you sort of look at that conversation, which has been a big one around this league?
Yeah, I think that's going to be a question that is going to be asked quite a bit kind of in the next couple of months. And I know Stan Kasten and Jana Heffert are actually going to be doing a media availability on Wednesday. And I anticipate they're probably going to be asked questions along those lines. You know, it's so you can understand why we're wondering this, right? Because of the success of all six of these markets. And yeah, you raise a great point about just the travel involved. And I think that's something that a lot of these players have commented on, is just, you know, this is obviously what they wanted and what they've anticipated, but it does take a little bit of time to kind of get used to that much travel. And so obviously that hurdle is there in terms of just geographically, but oh my gosh, how great would it be to see a Battle of Alberta in the PWHL. That would be so great. And obviously Calgary being such a hockey market there and such a presence too with the national team in particular. And so, yeah, I wonder about a market like Pittsburgh. I anticipate just based on the logistics that, you know, it would be kind of a little bit more of an East Coast expansion. But I would also anticipate, you know, kind of getting that started relatively soon because there is so much momentum and I think we're seeing the talent there and it's just going to get better and better and better. And so to sort of provide a non-answer to your question there, I do think those are conversations that we will probably be hearing sooner than later.
I did want to take a chance while I had you. You're a jack of all trades at Sportsnet.ca, PWHL, NFL, of course, NHL as well. And we're, of course, locked in on the trade deadline here in Calgary with so much on the line for the Flames coming up. How excited are you for the next couple of weeks as we get closer to the NHL's trade deadline, Emily?
Yeah, it's just always such a fun time to just be like a hockey fan, a hockey writer. It's just there's so much going on and there's just so many questions, right? And there's like, it's like a choose your own adventure. You can go down so many different routes for each team. And I think like this season, I mean, pretty much like every season, there's always those teams that are kind of on the bubble. And it's like, okay, will they or won't they? And so I'm definitely looking forward to kind of seeing that first major piece move. Of course, we've had a few trades, but I know that in the last couple of years, it sort of feels like GMs are kind of making their own trade deadline. And there's been a trend that trades have been happening earlier and earlier, but you know, it does sort of seem like, is everyone kind of waiting around right now? We're going to see what happens. So definitely looking forward to seeing what goes on in the next less than 2 weeks now.
And one of your most recent pieces at Sportsnet.ca was on, you know, Brad Treliving and the Maple Leafs. And there's still that weird feeling in Calgary of the former GM and, you know, maybe his protege and Craig Conroy, can they get together? It still feels like it makes a lot of sense, right? Toronto could use a D-man or two. Calgary's probably got one or two. Is there a natural connection there? And there's always the intrigue of what Toronto's going to do. Austin Matthews is having a historic goal-scoring season, but does Brad Treliving feel like this is a team worthy of investing in at the trade deadline? They're a really intriguing group themselves.
They really are. That's a question I'm definitely wondering. I know from digging into True Living's background and his kind of trends, like he does go to familiar sources, right?
Yep.
And so it's definitely very intriguing. Obviously, the Maple Leafs could always use some defense. but I'm also really curious, this being True Living's like first deadline at the helm of the Maple Leafs, and just to see like, maybe he does nothing.
Yeah.
And that would also go kind of with his general, MO. He's not a huge deadline guy, as you would well know being in Calgary. I'm curious about if maybe they don't do anything. And when you look at the last couple of years in Toronto, obviously the expectations have been sky high. They have not been met, but each year, the last couple of years, there have been these big trades, there have been these big acquisitions, and I kind of wonder if he just sort of lets it be. You know, in the offseason, we saw quite a few of those short-term signings, and you sort of wonder if, you know, maybe a Tyler Bertuzzi ends up being an in-house rental, essentially, right?
Yep.
Someone like that, that, you know, the chemistry is really forming, and so I would be a little bit more inclined, this is bad for business, but I'd be more inclined to just say, no, let's just see how this goes. And not to bet on this Maple Leafs team. I think they're more than capable of going on a run, but it's kind of intriguing, just this little win streak they've got going on, and the chemistry that is so clearly there. I would be tempted to just sort of wait and see.
Yeah, and I think we got the news either today or yesterday that Joseph Woll's back from his conditioning stint. So maybe there's another in-house, add
exactly.
if you're the Leafs,
like
right?
A rental.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea. He looked really good earlier in the season, and he gave him some time. And who? I mean, we've talked about this before, Emily. What's really out there for goaltending at this time of the year that's remarkably better than what you already have? There's just not much, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Like it's so, I think fans like, and hey, me too, like you want to see these big trades, but at the same time, like each time you have to think, well, is that really going to be a big upgrade? And I think any position, you know, there's always a bit of a little period of just settling back in or settling into a new market. And I think that would especially be an issue for goaltending, like we've seen that before. And so, yeah, I don't know what's going to happen on the goalie market, but it does seem like a particularly interesting year for that position, for sure.
It's going to be a lot of fun. And for my sake, as someone covering trade deadline on the air, I hope it's busy, but who really knows what's going to happen?
I know, right?
Yeah.
It's always a balance. I want it to be busy and also, like, maybe not the busiest, but
yeah.
I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, it's always that waiting game to find out. Emily, always enjoy our chats. Thanks for the time. Hey, take care.
Thanks so much. Have a great week.
Yeah, you too. Emily Sadler joining us from Sportsnet.ca. You can find her on Twitter at Emmy Sadler, or at sportsnet.ca, covering any variety of sports on the online side of things. She's a great writer, PWHL, NHL. She was with us during the NFL season, breaking it all down. Appreciate her joining us down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Yes, the NHL trade deadline, less than 2 weeks away. It's coming up on Friday, March 8th. We will have you covered wall-to-wall here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Guys, in the morning, of course, we'll kick it off. We'll run right through the afternoon. Will we talking about Flames deals that day? Or are we talking about Flames deals ahead of that time? You know, the day is always fairly busy with anything from, I don't know, mid to minor transactions. Sometimes there's a couple of major ones done on the actual day of, but you always have to wait and see. It's a waiting game, but always looking forward to covering it. It's one of our favorite days of the year. We can't wait to bring it to you. Friday, March 8th, NHL's trade deadline. Full coverage right here on your home of the Flames, Sportsnet 960. The Fan, we will take a break and come back on the other time. Speaking of the Calgary Flames, it was a practice day at the Scotiabank Saddle Dome. Their playoff push continues despite the looming NHL trade deadline. They got the LA Kings coming to town next. We'll check in with Jonathan Huberdeau and Blake Coleman following a big win over the Oilers next as Sportsnet Today rolls on here on Sportsnet 960. The Fan. Next up for the Calgary Flames, a showdown with the LA Kings at the Scotiabank Saddledome. coming off a big 6-3 win in the Battle of Alberta on Saturday. Flames have won 3 in a row. They look to make it 4 against LA. LA sitting in the top wild card spot in the Western Conference. Flames now get 3 straight at home. Kings on Tuesday, off until Saturday, which I don't know if you like that or not if you're a playoff believer. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, off to watch the out-of-town scoreboard. But Saturday, hell yeah. Mika Kiprusoff, jersey retirement night of the Scotiabank Saddle Dome. Going to be, I think, the best atmosphere of the season of the Dome. 8 o'clock puck drop. Ceremony starts at 6. Greatest goaltender in Flames history finally gets his jersey retired. Looking forward to that. And then next Monday, it's the Seattle Kraken in town. Oh, by the way, they're 2 points behind you as of this Monday for that racing for that wild card spot in the West. Lots going on around the Calgary Flames right now. As far as this Monday goes, I can tell you 4 games on the NHL schedule. Sportsnet's got a doubleheader of action for you. 5 o'clock, Sens Capitals. 6 o'clock, Islanders Stars. 7:30, you want to look at those LA Kings. Next up for the Calgary Flames. Well, they're up the road in Edmonton getting set to take on the Oilers at 7:30. Then at 8 o'clock, it's the Boston Bruins in Seattle to get to take on the Seattle Kraken. So 4 games on the NHL schedule. Sportsnet got the Sens and the Caps at 5 o'clock, 7:30. Kings and Oilers on Sportsnet 1 and Sportsnet West. Let's check back in with the Calgary Flames now. Practice day at the Scotiabank Saddle Dome. D pairings, lines, all stayed the same from Saturday's game, which means Andrei Kuzmenko remained as the extra forward. He missed Saturday's game with an illness, but did not take regular line rushes. Dryden Hunt stayed on the right side of Huberto and Sharon Govich. Good news, Markstrom out as a full participant, and as we heard from head coach Ryan Huska back in hour 1, doesn't have any worry about Markstrom's availability when it comes to Tuesday's game against the LA Kings. So check in with Blake Coleman following a big game against the Edmonton Oilers. He was all around it. That line was great. Blake Coleman with probably the favorite moment of the season for Flames fans. That big hit on Connor McDavid in the Oilers zone led to a big scrap with Matthias Janmark a little bit later on. Blake Coleman in the midst of a great season for the Calgary Flames, and he capped off the victory with an empty net goal against the Edmonton Oilers. Let's check in with number 20 following practice at the Dome on Monday.
Cool. Maybe what when you look at a game like Saturday night, and obviously there was a lot going on leading into it, and obviously the Battle of Alberta, but what stood out to you about you know, the way that you guys were able to, you know, start that game but finish it as well?
I thought the will to win was there the whole night. You know, I think it was a game we knew we needed. It was a team that, we had been needing to beat for a little while now. And I thought, to a man, everybody showed up and competed the right way and was in it together. And you know, guys made, you know, great plays. And more importantly, we had that team fight in us.
What does a win like that do for your group? When you mentioned that team fight, I mean, it was physical, it was chippy, there was goals, everybody was... I mean, that's a pretty complete win. What does it do for you, especially when you've already beaten a couple of heavyweights prior?
Well, if this doesn't give you the confidence, this stretch run now, then you're never going to find it. So, we feel good about where we're at. We're playing together. Everyone's having fun with it. Try to keep any of the noise of standings and things like that out of it and just go play our game and stick together. And, you know, I think at this point we all know we got each other's backs and... it's another great opportunity here with 3 more home games coming up.
You mentioned a couple times last week that you guys hadn't had the wins against 17-1, and you just mentioned that the team you guys needed to beat. So it was wearing on you, the way it was going on that rivalry a little bit?
Not wearing, it's just it's a team you want to beat. You know, it's a team that, you know, in our eyes, if we're going to go on a playoff run and do something meaningful here, that's a team we need to go through at some point. And, they had gotten the better of us lately, and I think, you know, it's just one of those things where, you know, you gotta punch back and get yourself into these series. And you know, they still got us 2-1, so we got to take care of one more time.
Speaking of punching back, you know, you see Huberto get into it. You see a guy like you get into it. And, you know, that obviously goes a long way with your teammates to show. You mentioned that getting the fight and battling back. What, when it gets physical like that, and guys who aren't necessarily known for getting under the skin or fighting, what can that do for the group?
Well, it just shows the guys care. You know, I think, like I said, I think it gotten to a point where, you know, this point in the season, every point matters and every game matters, and no matter who it is, we got to be willing to scratch and claw for everything we get, and that's the type of team we are. And, you know, you see guys like QB, and I mean, it went down the lineup last game. You see everybody willing to put it on the line like that. It means a lot to the guys in the room, and generally, in my experience, that's when teams really start to take off.
Feel good to throw a couple?
Yeah, it's been a little while, so good to get it dirty again.
Can you, the hit that you threw on Connor, is that when you see an opportunity, is that a chance for you to kind of up the emotion level? Does it go through your head when you see him like that? I'm just curious as to how you saw that develop.
It's an Oiler player. It's anybody on the other team. If you get a chance to get a look on him, you're gonna finish your hits, and you know that's what my role is, be hard to play against, and you know, it doesn't really matter who's wearing the sweater. You know, I treat everybody the same on those teams, and you know, obviously people ran with it more than I even thought they would, but to me it's finish your check and be tough to play against, and that's all it is.
How's your fight with Jan Mark come about with both of you being in the penalty box before Blake?
Obviously we had the little run-in right before and both go to the box, and you know, just exchanging hellos in the box, and then just at the end just asked we wanted to go, and we got out and both said yes, and that was it.
How can a fight like that, how can that affect your bench when you do it or other guys do that?
Well, it's like I said, I think it was just overall team toughness all game, not just that fight. I thought it was everywhere, and you know, I know from my experience watching other guys that maybe don't necessarily do it all the time, it's just kind of energizes the group a little bit more, in my opinion. You know, I think you know, obviously you got your guys that are prone to do it, you know, 6-8 times a year, and you know, they've got their specific roles for a reason, and they're good at what they do. But sometimes when guys step up into that role that aren't typically in it, just provides a little bit extra spark, and I thought the guys rallied well, obviously scored those two goals pretty quickly after, and they put the game away while I was in there.
How much spark did that? It was early. It was good. Like, you could tell it meant a lot to Nazem when he scored that goal. How much did that kind of set the tone for the rest of the night?
It's a great start. You know, he wins a one-on-one battle. Makes a great play on a pass from Walks, and anytime you score early and get a lead in a game like we did, was it 3-0, obviously you're going to feel good at that point, but there was a lot that got us to that point. Guys were ready to play right from the drop, and like I said, I think we're all in the realization that every point matters at this point, and everybody we're chasing or in that battle with has been playing good hockey, so it's going to be it's definitely not going to be an easy climb, but you know, that's why you really got to string off wins and take care of your own business.
When we hear about the identity of this team from you guys, it's often about defensive responsibility being hard to play against. But, I mean, I think since January 1st, you guys are 7th and 5-on-5 scoring in the league. A bunch of games where you're scoring 5 or 6. Has that become part of the identity of this team?
Well, it just speaks to the fact that everybody's found their game. I think touched on it all year. We're 4 lines, 3 pairs, and when we have that going, we're able to score a lot of goals because, you know, you look at the contributions we got. It's always up and down the lineup. It's not one line putting up 4 or 5 goals in a night. It's every line getting 1, maybe 2, and maybe special teams chipping in. So that's our recipe. We've found a good rhythm here right now, and you know, ultimately at this point, it's on us to not fall back into that inconsistency that we've been plagued with all year.
It seems like Jonathan Huberto has been finding his game. 21 points in his last 22 games. What's it been like for you seeing his confidence improve over the last month and a half?
Well, I've seen enough of Hubie throughout my career to know how good of a player he is, and to me, it's no surprise. It just, you know, sometimes things take time to find your rhythm, and you know, he's been a big reason why we're winning a lot of games right now, and you know, we're counting on him and his line to produce, and they've come through for us in big ways. So I don't think it comes as a surprise to anybody in our room.
How, as a guy, he's always talking to us whenever he has to answer questions about that. Like, what can you say about him as a human being and how he's taken ownership for the earlier struggles and obviously not doing super well?
Well, I think he's his own toughest critic. You know, I think, you know, and I know how I've been there too. You know, I think when you're your own toughest critic and people start to pile on and pile on and pile on, it can get heavy. And, you know, to Hubie's credit, he never showed it. He came to work every day. He was a good teammate. He was a good friend. He did what he could to get better. And like I said, I don't think anybody ever expected this to, you know, any his struggles to drag on. I think we expect him to be who he is now. And he's, like I said, he's a big, big part of our team moving forward here.
That's Blake Coleman. Flames forward with a big goal on Saturday. Big fight against Matias Janmark. 23 goals on the season for Blake Coleman, leads the Calgary Flames there. Second in points with 45 on the season. That's only behind Nazem Kadri for Flames scores this year. Continues to be a solid force with Michael Backlund. Of course, Andrew Mangiapane is the latest one on that line to work with Coleman and Backlund. More of them expected on Tuesday when the Flames take on the LA Kings. Lots of talk there at the end about Jonathan Huberdeau, the season that he's having. Calendar year of 2024 has actually been pretty solid for Jonathan. The points have been coming on a more regular basis. Found some chemistry with Yegor Sharangovich, a bit with Andrei Kuzmenko. He's climbing up. He's at 36 points this season in 57 games. Still not where he wants to be, but continuing to make an impact on a regular basis for the Flames. He also checked in with the media on Monday following practice at the Dome.
Just ask you about, maybe take us inside this locker room. You beat three heavyweights the way you have, at home, on the road, and the way this group is playing. How's the overall mood inside this room as you look at what you've done and try and keep it going?
It's always fun, you know. I said it before, it's always fun when you win. And, you know, we played a good team. We're playing well, playing a game, playing like every type of game, I would say. And, you know, we're winning, so it's just to keep things going, you know. That's what consistency, we had a hard time this year, so it's just to keep things going. And, you know, coming to the rink, it's fun. It's fun when you win.
Maybe you touched on it, but why are you having this overall success?
I mean, I think, like, you know, just the way we play, I feel like when we're skating, we're a fast team. We're tough to play against. And, you know, that's what we did. We can play a physical game, too, if we want to. And I think, you know, when we, you know, play our system, play the way we've been to all year and kind of play hard, play in their zone, play well defensively, that's when we're at a success. And I think when we do it for, like, you know, consistently throughout the game, that's when we're a hard team to beat.
You're not an agitator or anything, but it looked like you got under Ekholm's skin in that Saturday game. Can you take us through that sequence?
Just trying to get the pims up.
Okay.
That's all. And I mean, it was just that type of a game. I feel like, you know, there was a lot going on. I think it was a physical game, you know, a little rivalry out there. So, but it was cool. I think, you know, everybody chipped in, and that was fun to see.
How important is that gritty game going to be for you down the stretch here?
I think it's going to be hard. Every game is going to be hard. So I think we've got to take, you know, every game like that, and that's when we're going to be, you know, at our best. And I think it's, like I said, I think the last 20 few games, it's going to be hard every night, and, you know, we've got to give it our all.
We've seen you play games with Yegor Sharangovich, with Sharangovich on the wing, but also now as your center. Can you explain what your dynamic with him has been like and why you've been able to see success with him?
We started building Legos together to kind of get that chemistry. We had a Ferrari, Lambo, this kind of stuff. No, I mean, he's just a good, you know, good all-around player. He can play wing, you know, centerman. It's, you know, he's been playing wing, and now he has to play centerman. It's been good. He's winning the face-offs, and he's playing hard. So I think, yeah, type of guy is easy to play with, and, you know, we got good chemistry on and off. So.
Go ahead.
No, okay. When you were going through your tough stretch in December, we know we had a talk with you about that, and you had mentioned that some plays were still working out, but obviously the points weren't there. What were you doing to keep your spirits up as that tough stretch was going on?
I mean, I wish it was only December, but you know, I think it's been a while. It was tough the last year, and, you know, a little bit of this year, but I think, you know, I continue working hard and every night, every game, and you know, obviously it's been better since the new year. But it's just to keep things going. I know what kind of player I am. I think I just, you know, kind of lost that confidence and got it back and kind of believe it, you know, to myself, and that's what I did. And it was just to keep working every night. I think if you don't give up, at some point it's going to come back to you.
You talked about the consistency, just mentally. You've won three. You've had these stretches where you've taken those steps back. How important is it as a group to really focus on building on this and not kind of erasing all the work you've done?
Yeah, it is important. I feel like, you know, this year we've been going on streak and then, you know, losing, you know, three or four in a row. So I think it's important right now. We can't afford that. So it's important to keep going on that streak and keep working hard and keep doing it together. That's how we're going to be a good team.
When you go through December and then you're back to your like previous form, like, does it make you appreciate these moments that much more where you're on top of your game, you're getting points? Like, does going through something like December make you appreciate that much more the spot you're in right now?
Yeah, for sure. It's always fun, you know, to be contributing to the success of the team, and you know, that's what I wanted to do since the beginning. You know, it wasn't easy, but I feel like, you know, you learn something from that too. So I think it's not to throw this away, it's to learn from it and kind of look forward and, you know, be in the present, and that's what you want
to
do.
We want to go back to January 1st. This team scored a lot of goals. I think they're sort of top five in the Western Conference. Is that part of the identity of this team? We hear so much about the identity that you guys can go out there, score 5-6. Is that what you guys are aiming to do?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that's our game plan, but you know, it's going to happen. And I feel, obviously, we prioritize, like, you know, the defensively first. And I think, you know, some games is going to go, but I think we got a lot of skills in this lineup that we can score some goals. And I think when we start trusting each other, that's when, you know, we know we can generate offensively, and that's what he's been doing, like, you know, like you said, since the new year.
That is Jonathan Huberto checking in at the Scotiabank Saddledome on Monday following practice. He was on a line with Yegor Sharangovich and Dryden Hunt once again. Sneaky good pass from Huberto to set up Hunt for his first of the season from behind the net. He's been putting up points on a pretty regular basis in the calendar month of 2024. Flames fans hoping for more of that from number 10, especially in their next game out Tuesday against the LA Kings. Start of a three-game homestand for the Flames. 6 o'clock Flames warm-up with the one and only Pat Steinberg. 7 o'clock puck drop with Derek Wills and Megan Nicholson right here on your home of the Flames, Sportsnet 960, The Fan. That'll do it for a Monday edition of the program. Thanks to Cam and Shan for their great work, as always. Heard lots from the Calgary Flames today, including head coach Ryan Huska, Jonathan Huberto, and Blake Coleman. Also checked in with Emily Sadler and Ben Schulman. If you missed any of it, check us out on the podcast, Google, Amazon, Spotify, or your favorite podcatcher. We'll be back on a Tuesday to get you set for the Flames and the Canucks. Have a great Monday. Talk to you Tuesday here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.